B2, number 4A.
Now I want to show you so that you are well equipped as the platoons of Christian Science, how these days of creation slowly yield to these numerals of infinity. And you can see how they yield through these reflections. Now take the chart with the title Subtones of the Days of Creation. And let's quickly consider these 7 days of creation in the light of these reflections. The thing is that we usually talk about the 7 days of creation, and as we had it this morning on our chart, we just said the first day of creation is light, and the second day of creation is the firmament or separation. And then when the critics who want to find out some faults about our teaching take the text of Genesis and how Mrs. Eddy explains it and gives the exegesis of it, they say with some right that what we teach is not quite right, because the first day of creation does not only say let there be light, but it also says that God separated the light from the darkness. Therefore, it has to do with spirit or separation, you see, separates, because that's the second day. And goes on and says, and God called that day, that light day. Therefore, the text says there that there is identification, naming, which is the third day of creation. Somehow I think you didn't get it. Yeah? Oh, fine. Well, just to say, see, if we take in the days of creation as the first day is light, and as the second day the firmament or separation, then at the third day identity, for instance, the dry land appears, identity or naming, these are the 3 days. But if you go to the text, to the actual text of the first day, see, it says let there be light of this year, then it says let there be a separation, takes this second day already in here. See? And afterwards it says, and God called the light day, it named it, the identity, and it's already here. Can you see that? Can you see why they come along and say, we make up things? Because they only know the very simple, the simplest of the simplest, what we teach. Namely, that the first day is the day of mind, of let there be light, let there be intelligence, let there be knowledge, let there be vision, and so on. And they say, no, this is only, and the Bible says, there is separation there, and there is already naming there. But what you see, is that they are so-called subtones. That the first day actually, you see, is therefore light, mind, and it's the subtone of spirit, we call it mind as spirit, and it's the subtone of soul, we call it mind as soul. But it's still mind. These are the main tones. Mind is the main tone, spirit and soul are the subtones. Can you see? And in this light, this chart which I have given you here, just goes quickly through these 7 days of creation and show how in each day of creation there are subtones in it, so that we are not sidetracked by the text, and see that we must have the spiritual ear to know what is dominant in a tone, what is the dominant in a day, and what is secondary in a day. That's why we call it mind as mind, really. Yeah, mind as mind. Can you read that? That should be an N. Call it mind as... Oh, I give my for this one is for me an S, huh?
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. All right. So the first day that goes as far as here is mind as mind as spirit, mind as soul. Actually, I should call it differently. I should say it shows mind, mind as spirit, mind as soul. So that you hear that the melody is mind, you see, but it has its subtone. And so it is with the second day, with there you have, as we can go quickly through it, you have the three subtones. You have let there be a firmament, you see. A firmament, that's the main tone. But let there be is the creative sense of it. Therefore it's spirit as mind. See, the creative sense. Then you have the second, the firmament divided the waters. You have spirit as spirit. The separation that is in action as dividing. And then the firmament is called heaven. You have the naming. So, can you see? Very, very simple. The moment, you see, all these things is music. I like it to get it as music. You see, if I say, spirit as mind, spirit as spirit, spirit as soul, and I know spirit. Spirit is separation, firmament. All right, as mind, it's that firmament is created. As spirit, that firmament does what it has to do, it separates. And as soul, it is named heaven. Can you hear it? So, be aware, you see, that if these critics come, that you know what's all about, you see, and that you can answer, and that it's very logical. No one of all the critics I have heard since 25 years from the movement has the faintest idea what we teach. Not one of them. Including the non-Bostonites. Not even those who criticize us and of whom we should think they would be fair and impartial and impersonal. They haven't the faintest idea what we teach. They just pick up here and there a sentence of what has been written by Mr. Dorio, by Ideas of Today, or what I have said, and they make a hullabaloo of it. That's all. So let's be firmly founded in this wonderful system. And it's in the Bible, and it's in Mrs. Eddy's writing. It isn't our philosophy. It's being. Just as we have seen on the chart before, on the blackboard, it's being. We couldn't do anything about evolution. We couldn't do a thing that evolution started and that it unfolded, and that man appeared and so on. It happened. It is in being. We couldn't do a thing that a 1,000-year period through the Bible history unfolded. It did unfold. And so we see these things are actually the structure of being. And all what we have to do is to get that structure. And not to run off after our thousands of different problems. They all solve themselves. They all solve themselves. You don't have to solve them. The one who has the bigger has the smaller in itself. Comes by grace. Or you take the third day. The third day is there. The main tone is that the dry land appeared in the third day, and that in that dry land the seed was going up, the seed in itself. So the text
There are five verses in it, which Mrs. Eddy interprets. The first is, "Of the waters gathered together, and the dry land appears." The dry land appears, that's identity, you see, soul. But the creative sense is, "Let it appear." That's the creative sense, that the waters gather together. There is a creative movement, a creative motion, always going on, so that the identity can appear. But in order that that identity can appear, the earth was named and the sea was named. It was separated, earth and sea, so that they were no more mixed up. The sea stands not for the identity of being, for the firm, concrete identities of being. It is for the elements of mind. Then in the third, "Let the earth bring forth grass, herb, etc." Let the earth bring forth its own. The seed is in itself. Soul a soul. The identity reappearing and reappearing and reappearing and reappearing. Here you have the center, you see. Always when you get to the synonym after synonym, soul a soul, you have naturally the main tone in it. Here, that wonderful tone that through billions of years an acorn, an oak tree was an oak tree and remained an oak tree. The identity reappears, reappears, reappears. It doesn't change. Fourth, and God said, "And they brought forth after its kind." After its kind. You have classification, you see. So soul is classified. Principle classifies. And then, as she says, of the third day, that's the day of the resurrection. The third day, she says, is an important stage in the development of Christian science, and it means resurrection, life. The identity of being, resurrected above, human sense, life. Can you see these tones? You see, this is more or less what we did when we went to the first class in mathematics or arithmetic. We had to learn our numeration table. We had to learn what is 1 by 1, 1 by 2, 1 by 3, 1 by 4, and so on. What is 2 by 2, 2 by 3, 2 by 4, and so on. Why did we do that? Because it cultures within us the structure of arithmetic. Well, the same is true about these ideas. The more we begin to see these ideas in their reciprocal reflection, always more and more, then something within us gets cultured in a spiritual way, so that consciousness begins to think in terms of ideas and of reflected ideas, of a calculus of ideas afterwards. So, when the pupil in the school learns this numeration table, he can say, well, what's the use of that? What's the use that I learned that? Because this afternoon I must go to the shop for my mother, and I have to shop this and this and this, and I should be able to count this and this and this together, and I can't. I'm not yet there. Yes, the teacher says that's right, but you will get there if you first train yourself in the numeration table. Then, little by little, you will come into the rhythm of arithmetic. The whole system of arithmetic within you will come alive, and you then quite naturally can calculate. So the teacher says, don't care about the problems you have to solve. Go the way which is shown to you. Yes. I really should go on. I think all the rest is, you can look for yourself. It is interesting, for instance, to see that only when we come to the sixth day of creation, that there, for the first time, we have seven reflections. There are seven subtones in the Bible and in Mrs. Eddy's interpretation. And this is very important, because only in the 6,000-year period we really found the explanation of being as the seven synonymous terms. And only here we get a full sense of the idea. Only here, really, the days of creation melt first into the numerals of infinity and then into the synonymous terms. But this I want to show later on. Shall we leave that job? Do you think you can manage that yourself in your quiet days? And you know what it means, you see. You know now that they mean this very first stage of getting away only from the days of creation and beginning to blend these ideas. They are not yet completely blended, you see. Only, I showed before that really only when an idea blends all the other six synonymous terms that we get to the full sense of idea. Perfect. Better show it this way. But if you have an idea in mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, that's great. So this is the one being, you see. The one being constituted of the seven synonymous terms which make up the whole of being. Well, any idea of mind, really, see, is only an idea of mind within the whole. It's considered within the whole. Can you remember why I started this morning? It was a bit of a difficult start. But I said, when we come out of the atomistic thinking, we only come out by finding a system of reference to which they belong. Only then can we calculate rightly. Here, this idea of mind is only an idea of mind if it reflects spirit, it reflects soul, it reflects principle, it reflects life, truth, and love. Only if this idea, whatever that idea of mind may be, like power, is seen in the light of these other, then this is a full idea of mind. Is that clear? Now the days of creation haven't shown that yet. See, the first day only showed this here. Went only as far as that. Why? Don't ask me, because I get into trouble. It's too difficult to explain, but there is a reason for it. And the second day, spirit was taking it only this. Three subtones. And then when we got to soul, you had five subtones. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, like this. You see. But don't ask me why. You can ask me another time, when we are much clearer about these things. But you see something, you see, that the days of creation are seven steps. Now try to blend more and more, step by step, nearer to a full reflection. Actually, the moment we have full reflection, you can no more have days, because there is no more process. Can you see that? You see, then there is no more process. The moment each idea reflects all other ideas, there is no more need for a process. So, at that point here, we really come to what we call the blending of ideas, the functional sense of consciousness, where in order to see what an idea of a synonymous term is, we have always to see it in the reflection of all the others. Now, in order to show you this, I have given you another chart, which is called Perfect Ideas. Do you have that? It has two pages. We couldn't put them on one page because we didn't have the right machine to do that. Can you see it like this? Starting on the left-hand side with idea, and then mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and work on the top. Yeah? Okay. Now, see, what we can do with this is, because it's just a help, to take an idea like I have taken their intelligence. Can you see? On the left-hand side, under idea, I have taken the idea intelligence, for instance. Yes. Now, we can say intelligence is an idea of mind. God is intelligence, mind is intelligence, and so on. Well, what does it mean? Does it mean that my brain is very intelligent? See? Does it mean that I have intelligence but you don't have? See, all these personal or human concepts which we attribute up to now to a term like intelligence must first be corrected and must be subdued to a higher sense, to a divine sense. And we can only do that by seeing that idea in the light or in the reflection of all the other synonymous terms. For instance, I have taken, just this is naturally not the unique way, as mind, an idea of mind is creative, creator. So I can see true intelligence is creative, not destructive. You know how much we attribute that intelligence, the intelligence of the atom physics and so on, is destructive. That intelligence as an idea of mind is always creative because it must reflect mind. We come to spirit and we can take an idea of spirit like order and see that the divine intelligence is not only creative but is orderly creative. It creates in an ordered way. Therefore, it is an intelligence which will lead us in an ordered way to its fulfillment. Can you see that? As soul, we can, for instance, see soul is characterized by definiteness, by naming and so on. And so we can see that intelligence, which is creative and which is ordered, is definite. Has a definite aim, has an identity, it knows what it knows what it wants to achieve, it has a very definite aim. As principle, we can see that this intelligence, say, is operative, but it isn't something which lays bare, something which is stagnant, which is static, but something which is constantly operating. The intelligence of the universe is constantly operative. It is reflecting life, therefore it is inspiring. It is as the nature of inspire. Can never be depressive, can never lead to a dead end or anything like that. It is always inspiring because life is inspiration. As truth, we can see that this intelligence has dominion because truth is dominion. Can you see that? Or as love, that it is planful, that it has a plan, so that I see that that intelligence is a telefinalistic intelligence, that it is a purposeful intelligence, that it has, that is an intelligence which has an aim and a motive which it is able to achieve and to consummate. It's a consummating intelligence. It has no dead end. Can you see how in this way we can clarify an idea like intelligence? Yes? Now, let's take substance. Just, I left all open so that you can do it yourself. See, you have a way of making your home work. Now, let's take substance and say, now what is meant in Christian Science by substance? We know substance as an idea characterizing spirit, because spirit is all true substance. But is that enough? Do we know what is meant by saying that spirit is substance. And so we can look at it from the various standpoints. From the standpoint of mind, what could you say that substance is? Substance is?
All,
for instance, you see?
Understanding.
Because understanding is spirit. As mind, you see, it's all. So we have already a concept that the substance of spirit is all substance. A spirit, spirit of spirit, substance is
reality.
Huh? You see, now we have already a wonderful sense of substance. It is all, and it is reality. And as so, what could we say there? Think about
identity.
Identity, all right. Or because, yes, we can take identity, that substance of spirit has identity, that it's tangible, because most people think that spiritual substance is something which you can't get hold of, which flows through your fingers and you don't know where it is. It has identity, it has spiritual tangibility. As principle, what could we say as principle in that substance?
Operates.
As it operates, all right, we have that already with intelligence, because we can take another one, it's all right.
Demonstrates.
See, for instance, we can see that this substance has within itself spiritual power, demonstrative power. That's mind, yes. But system, yes. Now as life, what could you say as life?
Multiplies.
Renewal. Wonderful, huh? Renews. That substance multiplies, renews. Abundance is abundant. That all substance, you see, which is the reality, which is definite, which operates, is abundant. Can you hear? That truth. What could you say as truth?
Takes form.
That substance takes form. Takes definite form. Yes. Yeah. Or what else could you say as truth? You see, there are always quite a lot. It's consciousness. It's a substance that is consciousness and not just unconscious. And as love?
Perfect.
Perfect substance.
Satisfying.
Yes, love satisfies, soul satisfies, yes, satisfying substance, yes.
Complete
substance, has no lack, no loss, and so on. Can you see how you should or could take any of these ideas, say, any idea come to you in your practice, in your silent hour, which gives you a sense, I think this is the crucial point, and it comes to you. Then go and see it blending with all the other synonymous terms, with all the ideas of all the other synonymous terms. And these are exercises you could make not only when something is urgently pressing you to do so, but just as the boy does it in school, he does his numeration tables. We used to take years and years, and always in our practice and everything what we did, we just took every idea and always began to see them in the reflection of all the other ideas. And in this way we get a quite a natural sense of a true idea. Is that clear? Shall we do another one or shall we leave it? Another one.